Thank you for listening to Lone Star Community Radio. This program was broadcasted and recorded live from the LSCR studios in downtown Conroe, Texas. Lone Star Community Radio is supported by listeners like you. Donate and sponsor today. For more information on getting involved with Lone Star Community Radio, contact us at lscrstudios@gmail.com or visit us online at www.irlonestar.com.
You are listening to Lone Star Community Radio on 104.5 KCZW LP Conroe and 106.1 KZCC LP Conroe and worldwide on irlonestar.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in, and this is the Weekly Business Hour. We're coming to you today live from the studios of Lone Star Community Radio, the community radio station for Montgomery County. Our studios are located in downtown Conroe, the county seat, and we're on the first floor of City Hall. So encourage you, if you're in the area, in the neighborhood, want to drop by to say hello, always feel like you can. Lone Star Community Radio is the community radio station for Montgomery County. What that means is all of us at Lone Star, we're volunteers. We're people in the community. We like the opportunity to share our message. So if you have in mind something you'd like to talk about, maybe develop a show, reach out to Lone Star Community Radio. And who knows, maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll hear you on the radio. A quick thought. How do I create a lifetime customer? Boy, isn't that one of the things that many small businesses strive for? You know, how can I get somebody and just keep them? I mean, forever. And it's a bit of a challenge. I was out looking on some of the forums this weekend, and there as being the first of the year, the new year, people are talking about all kinds of topics about the coming year and beyond. And I think it also the holidays offer a lot of small businesses, owners particularly, the time to sit back and reflect for a little bit. They may not take enough time during the year, but they reflect. Creating a lifetime customer, though, is obviously a very worthy goal. How do you create it? I think it works different for every business, every industry. Obviously, you're selling products, services, some online, some direct. Plumber, electrician comes to the house. You know the drill. You know, the truck's clean. The guy's in a uniform. He takes off his shoes and puts on some of those little slippers on or something to come in the house. I mean, it's just basic. But one of the things that I've heard in this discussion and reading some of these forums is a guy advanced, an older fellow like me who's been around, and he said, how do I create lifetime customers? My answer is simple. I treat them like the prospect they were before they became a customer. Okay? In other words, a customer, okay, I got another customer, right? It's hard to stay excited. I know it with the customer. You're excited about finding the next customer, the new customer. And just like this gentleman put it out there, treat them like they were the prospect before they became your customer. And I think that's a good byline. And I hope you will make every effort in your business to create and have that in mind, lifetime customers. Because as most of us know, keeping a customer is a lot less expensive than finding new customers. So consider that. Make that perhaps one of your goals in 2025. Weekly Business Hour is where Montgomery County and businesses now throughout the world come to talk about the latest in business news, ideas to improve your business, and to be part of conversations that can make a real difference in your business. We're all small business owners. We're talking about what's happening in our business. We share our thoughts. We share our ideas. We share our successes. We share our failures. And hopefully this information, this communication and conversation helps you in your business. The show is also, I need to remind people, some of us, that it's broadcast live on YouTube and Facebook. Just go to YouTube or Facebook and look up the Weekly Business Hour. We have a page, and you can click there and watch as well as listen to us. So we've got two handsome guys on the show today, so you may want to watch us as well as listen to us. Also, if you have an idea or information you'd like to share, or even a business question, your own business, drop me a line. Just send it to Rick, R-I-C-K, at IRLoneStar.com. That's Rick at IRLoneStar.com. Okay, we've got all the nitty-gritty done for the day, hopefully, and we're going to spend a good part, if not the entire rest of the show, talking with an individual and on a subject that has a potential to benefit every listener. And I am so pleased today that we have one of the foremost authorities, in my opinion, as well as others, in the area of SBA loans, Small Business Administration loans. Gary Henderson's with us. In fact, his nickname is the SBA guy. So he's the guy. He's got over 40 years in banking, 23 years of experience with SBA lending. And he currently serves as the, and boy, this is a title, what do you carry, double business cards, bleeds over, serves as the Executive Vice President, Executive Director of Government Guaranteed Lending for Stellar Bank. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rick. Glad to be here.
Well, you've got the title on the card that runs two or three lines, but really you back it up with 23 plus years of experience in SBA lending. SBA lending is a sort of a specific field, isn't it?
It is, very, very much so.
And what makes it that way?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here today, and hello to everybody listening and watching. As far as SBA, it's a gap lending product is what we call it, because it fills a gap that banks don't provide in certain areas. So, say a startup business, you know, most banks on the conventional side just are not going to finance a startup. It's just too risky unless they have enough collateral to do so, or maybe certain types of businesses, maybe from restaurants, probably a good example. You know, most banks just don't want to do, hey, I got a great, biscuit recipe and I want to go and start selling biscuits. You know, the banks just don't see that as a worthwhile risk to take.
Well, you know, I think that's important because so many times people will talk to me even over the last 15, 20 years that I've been a small business advisor and prior to that to different business groups I was involved in as a business owner. They will, you know, I've got an idea or want to start a business, but where do you get financing? The banks won't touch me. Rule of thumb used to be at least 2 years in business, if
right.
I remember, and a certain level of revenue, et cetera, et cetera. And being someone who served on bank boards and was around banking in my career, I get it. I mean, it's all about that risk, right?
Right.
And the one thing a bank doesn't want to do is have a bad loan, and have to, particularly if I recall correctly, don't want to go out and have to claim those assets that back it up and sell them and go through all that. That's a lose-lose proposition.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the government has stepped in through the SBA and been doing it for a number of years, basically guaranteeing the debt. Now, how does that work for the average borrower?
Okay. Yeah, so some of the, misconception about SBA is that, they're guaranteeing the loan in lieu of the borrower or the owner. So that's not the case. The owner or individual that owns the company does have to personally guarantee the debt. So, but where the risk is mitigated is maybe a simple example would be if a borrower borrowed, say, $100,000 and to do some business expansion or what have you, but the business failed for whatever reason. Let's say the $100,000 was still outstanding. The SBA, after the bank liquidated whatever assets might have been pledged as collateral, the SBA would pay 75 cents on the dollar to the bank, and then the bank would take a loss for the remaining, 25% of whatever the balance was. So it does mitigate the loss that the bank could take,
Right. So it is a guarantee up to, but the 25% theoretically, or reality, they could pursue the guarantor.
Correct.
Being the business owner, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Yeah, so the SBA will follow up with that, and so they're going to go through Treasury to try to recover some of that loss.
So they go after them for their 75%.
Correct,
so
yeah.
So the bank basically takes the 25%.
That's true, yeah, that's what happens, which is interesting because when the when the IRS collects through Treasury, they send that money to the SBA, and the SBA will send us a pro rata portion. They'll send us our 25% of that recovery, and vice versa. Sometimes the borrower individual will come back and say, hey, I know I had this charge off loan. I'd like to clean it up. They give us, say, $1,000. We'll keep $250 and send $750 to the SBA because that's their pro rata share of it.
Okay, so you do have a chance as a banker to go back and collect a little bit of that write-off that you made a year or two ago when the loan went bad.
We get little checks all the time from the IRS for recoveries. Yeah, it's amazing.
I never knew that to the IRS. Mm-hmm. Well, I guarantee you, if I borrowed money, I wouldn't want the IRS after me.
Yeah, me either.
I was taught very early age by my dad to don't want to deal with them. Unlimited resources. He says you overdo whatever you have to do to convince them that they don't need to take a look at you.
So right.
Very, very important. That's interesting. Current market. What is the market like? I mean, last year the economy. We had that pivotal presidential election. Stock markets went crazy. There's all kinds of things going on, and some of them don't make sense.
Right.
If you try to match it up. But what is the market right now? If I'm starting a business or been in business for a little while and I need to borrow some money.
Okay, yeah, that's it's surprisingly pretty good. Yeah, so access to capital, especially through SBA during times of maybe uncertainty is probably the best way to put it, is what we went through the last year or so. SBA steps into that gap. Because banks traditionally, in times of uncertainty, their credit starts to pull back somewhat on the conventional side. So we see a rush towards, hey, let's send this over to the SBA department. And so we saw a lot of transactions last year. Didn't do all of them, of course. Just a lot of them weren't doable. But, yeah, we did our fair share. And you know, Rick, what I find is business owners and entrepreneurs, you know, they have that mindset of just moving forward. And we were in a higher rate environment even. So, you know, they pushed forward with, you know, projects that you would have thought maybe with the economy they might hold up on, but they're just charging forward and doing business. They're not afraid.
You know, that was my next question is, what is the attitude out there about opening a new business or you know, increasing my business size or whatever. And what I hear you saying last year, it was somewhat surprising mm-hmm. how it just people still out there want to open a business. You know, we hear about all the baby boomers selling their businesses.
Right.
Or in reality, when you look at statistics that I've seen, they just walk away from them in many cases, but sell or hand them down to the next generation.
Right.
But so it always feels kind of negative to me that, you know, that the businesses, but you got new startups. I haven't seen any recent statistics on that,
mm-hmm.
but you say they're there.
Yeah. So what we've seen in the last 2 to 3 years is we've seen companies moving in from other states, you know, where maybe state taxes are too heavy or just the environment's not as pro-business as it is here in Texas. So we're fortunate. So we've seen some relocations, you know, of moving in, buying a building, relocating their plant or whatever. And then you mentioned business acquisitions or selling of businesses. Historically, that's been a great SBA has been a great product for that. Excuse me. Because you can finance on terms that are not available, you know, through the conventional side. And one thing that the SBA came out with about a year ago, which I sort of questioned when they came out with it, but it was financing partial purchases of businesses. That was just so foreign to me. And over the years, as you know, I've been doing this, you know, 23 years, I've been approached by people here and there just to say, hey, you know, can I buy, you know, 10% of a company? And we couldn't do it. You know, we just didn't have a methodology for it. But SBA put together a plan for it. And looking at it now, it's created this opportunity for, say, you own a business, but you have a manager or what have you that's been with you for, you know, 5-10 years. Maybe you don't have children that want to take the business over, and this individual might be the person that the business could go to. So you could sell a portion of the ownership, say 10% or 20, what have you, but that individual can come in and now have equity stake in the business. And then down the road, when they want to do the full sale, they could come back and get another SBA loan to do the purchase of the balance of the business. So it's just opened up a lot of new opportunities that really hadn't been there before, you know.
You know, one of the things that just amazes me or surprises me is the width and breadth of the type of loans that SBA will guarantee.
Right.
Kind of give our listeners a sense of, you know, how, I mean, we just heard partial purchases. That blows me away, too, as an individual and trying to think about that collateral. And I said, wow.
Yeah. It's very new, so we're sort of adjusting to it, but we're starting to see transactions and partial purchases. So, yeah, but SBA, you know, traditionally, yeah, buying a building, that's, you know, that's a pretty simple type of transaction. Well, we call them rent replacements. Typically, they're going from a lease space to owning their own building, building equity in real estate, as well as, you know, building that value in the business that they have. But the nice thing about SBA is you can, you know, finance those for very low equity, you know, 10%, sometimes less. Maybe you need to do an expansion of your current business, or you have a building and you want to just add square footage to it. That's another type of construction loan. Maybe you want to buy heavy equipment. That's always a possibility. You could finance inventory purchases. You can, like we talked about earlier, you could buy an existing company. You could do a partial purchase of ownership. Working capital is something that SBA has attempted to help us finance over time, but just the products haven't been that good. SBA's revamped their working capital program, so many of the lenders sort of taking a wait and see approach to this and see how it really works. So that may be something that's going to open up, you know, more opportunity for SBA lending. But you can pretty much any need that a business has, that you can fulfill it with an SBA loan.
What is an example, one or two, of loan, a type of loan that they don't work with?
Ooh, okay. So yeah, of course, any illegal businesses, of course, you know. So that type. Let's see.
Well, you know, that your answer. I mean, yeah. They basically do everything.
Pretty much anything and everything. Yeah, they don't. So they won't do loans to financial institutions, any kind of, you know, financial type business. But anything else, it's pretty wide open. They've even relaxed somewhat on individuals that may have, maybe they've been in prison. You know, they've served a prison sentence. Now, if they've committed any kind of fraud or financial crime, they're probably not going to be eligible at all. But if somebody had went to prison, I had an individual that had a manslaughter conviction and served time, paid his penance and everything, came back out, established a career, and was very successful at it, and made him a loan and to start his own business, and he's already paid me off. So, and I know you're familiar with the prison entrepreneurship program. I don't know if we want to talk about that, but yeah, there's SBA looked at that as an area that needed some assistance, you know, because these individuals are coming out of, serving their term. They've paid their price, and anyway, getting them back in and having given the opportunity to have their own business.
You know, that is really interesting because it's been a while since I've had to deal with SBA loan, had a client or somebody that was working with that. And I think that's an important message today to anyone listening to this program, is if you need a loan and you feel you're too small or whatever, you're starting a business and you don't think it's possible, because that used to be the prevailing feeling, right, especially on startups. The SBA, good chance they can help you.
Yeah, fill that
now
gap.
What is the lending range dollar-wise? And I know that varies between products, but generally speaking.
It does, yeah. So the SBA has the program, and then the banks, each bank handles the program based on their credit culture, really. Some banks may say we want to do, you know, just real estate loans. There's some lenders that say, hey, we'll make a market in franchise lending. Some banks say, well, we don't want to do loans below $500,000. Other banks will say we want to do loans below $500,000. So the good thing about the SBA community is that if if we know that this product doesn't fit, you know, our basket, we're going to refer them off to somebody that, you know, can do it, hopefully. So in the old days when I first started SBA lending, it was very competitive environment. We really didn't help each other a lot as competitors, but we developed an association called the Houston Association of Government Guaranteed Lenders, and there's other ones around the country, but for the Houston area, we have meetings every year. We train each other. We have a golf tournament and a Christmas luncheon. I mean, we do a number of things together, so we've built some community sort of within our industry, and so we're less reluctant to say, hey, go here and so-and-so might be able to help you get this loan done, whereas I know, you know, with our credit culture, we're not going to be able to get that deal done for you.
You know, that's, again, it's to me very heartening because I guess I lost touch with it, but the SBA is open for business, and any business that's small business particularly that's looking for some help and needs to borrow needs to at least inquire.
Right.
And you're one of the people, or the person, quite frankly, in this market I would send people to and say, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. And you could say, hey, you need to change this or that or
right.
whatever, but help people figure out what they can and can't do.
Right.
Because it sounds like, again, you've got a lot of flexibility and a lot of opportunities with the different products.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, thanks, Rick. I appreciate that. I was going to say, so SBA last year, they're on a September 30 year end, and they, I think it was over 103,000 SBA loans were made last year. You know, it was a 22% increase over the prior year, which that's a pretty big jump. But some of that's driven by the tightening of credit on the conventional side.
Right.
Some of it was driven by just coming out of the pandemic. I think individuals maybe have worked in corporate America or worked for somebody else. Maybe they've been working at home through the pandemic, and they just said, hey, you know, I could do this, you know. And so we're seeing sort of a movement towards that as well. Technology certainly has, you know, changed our world, and so you're seeing more people that maybe do want to open up a home-based business, and they can do that through an SBA loan. So the total financing that was done through the 7A program, which is sort of the flagship program of the SBA, was over $36 billion. You know, that's a lot of money on the street. And then there's another program called the SBA 504. It's primarily for real estate and large equipment purchases, and you can get a long-term fixed rate piece with that that's below market. They did right about $6 billion in financing last year, you know, through the SBA. So, yeah, SBA is open for business, wanting to do more. This last year, they've relaxed a lot of the rules, you know, for the banks, almost too relaxed for the lenders somewhat and our credit people. So we're like, hey, wait a minute, you know, let's kind of look at this. But maybe they're moving a little faster than we want to move, but as bankers. But they're certainly doing their best to try to open up as many opportunities as they can to provide financing.
Well, obviously that's great news to the folks in small business, particularly if the economy goes where I and others think it's going to go, it's going to grow, and the access to funds to be able to borrow the funds you need to expand or buy a business or start a business. That's great news.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break at this point. And I hope you'll stay with us. We'll come right back, and we'll continue visiting with Gary Henderson, the SBA guy, about some other aspects of SBA lending. So please stay with us.
Lone Star Community Radio is looking for those who are interested in hosting their own talk show, with monthly and weekly slots available in Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1, and on IRLoneStar.com. Start your own podcast, create your first YouTube channel, and be on TV. Contact Lone Star Community Radio online at IRLoneStar.com or call the station message line at 936-647-3776 to take your first step into the radio world.
What is homelessness? Have you seen parents struggle to find a job without having transportation or child care? What about the children sleeping in cars with nothing to eat? Families shouldn't have to struggle to survive, and children should not be homeless. Family Promise of Montgomery County serves the needs of homeless families and their children. Learn about ways you can help and learn about partnership opportunities at www.familypromiseofmc.org or call our day center at 936-441-8778.
Did you know that there are over 153 million orphans in the world today? The sad reality is 99% of those kids will likely never be adopted. CoreLove is an organization right here in Conroe that takes care of orphan children in Haiti, Honduras, and India. We bring the love of Jesus by providing their six basic needs of clean water, proper food, health care, education, job skills, and a loving home. Visit CoreLove.org, that's CoreLuv.org. Will you help defend the orphan?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to us and staying with us. I want to again remind you, if you've got a question or a thought about the show, or if you've got a business issue yourself, you know, we have a segment many times called The Mailbag, where I answer on air questions that you have about your own business and what to do. So please drop me a line at Rick, R-I-C-K, at IRLoneStar.com. Please take the opportunity to do that. I love the mailbag segments to put them together, and we're starting a new year, so I need some new mail. So drop me a line at Rick at IRLoneStar.com. Well, Gary, when we went to break, you had kind of carried us through the nitty-gritty of SBA lending, explained the width and breadth, which is, in my opinion, huge. The opportunities are there for most small businesses to get the kind of loan they need to get. Mm-hmm. And I also note that you still have to consider what bank you go to, because every bank has areas, and that's always been true. Mm-hmm. And so that's very important. And another good reason to talk to somebody like you. So they end up going to the right place, that it's doable,
right,
to make sense out of that. What are some of the basic things I need to do if I'm considering getting a loan and it can fit within the SBA tent, so to speak? What are some of the basic information I should be expected to provide to successfully get a loan?
Yeah, a couple of things. One is the lender should ask you for a personal financial statement. They're going to want to see, where you're currently sitting, with your finances. So one of the things lenders are big on, if you're wanting to start a business, is skin in the game, or it's equity injection is what that is. So we want to make sure that you have enough to put into the business, that you have something at risk, something to lose, because you're going to pay way more attention, to what's going on. Versus if you didn't. And then also we want to make sure that your post-injection equity is good, because, we definitely don't want to take every dollar you have to, start a business, and then you don't have anything and you're relying on a new business startup to feed yourself. So, yeah, we want to make sure there's plenty of cash left on the personal financial statement. The other would be, for us, is starting a business would be previous experience. So we want to see a resume and sitting down, having a conversation. You're going to, as a banker, you'll develop a feel for an individual. Can they really do this and pull this off? And if they can't, maybe it's just not the time. And the best thing the banker can do is be honest with the borrower or the applicant and let them know, I think you probably need to get in touch with some local resources to help you. And there, and fortunately, in Houston, we have such a great business market. There are a number of different individuals and groups that are very helpful in this area. The Small Business Development Centers at the University of Houston, and they also participate in Lone Star and some of the other colleges around the Houston area. But they'll help you with your business plan. They'll help you with the projections. They've got a lot of data for free. It's no cost to you. They also have some very low-cost classes that you can take. The Houston Community College system and Lone Star, I'm sure, too, with business classes, highly recommend those. A SCORE is through the SBA. That's individuals that have been in business over time, and they just volunteer to give free counseling, with that. So there's just so much available out there. Hopefully we'll talk about Silver Fox Advisors because we have a great group of individuals within that that, you know, they do provide the sort of counseling and support, you know, for small business owners, whether it's a startup and or, you know, existing business owners. But, yeah, those are kind of the main things. And, you know, talking to different bankers, you know, I wouldn't go talk to just any one bank. You know, go talk to as many as you can. One thing the SBA in this district is great at, in the Houston District Office, that's Mark Winchester and his team. They put on sort of a lender speed dating a few number of times a year. So you can go into a room. There's going to be probably, I'm going to say, up to 20 SBA lender banks or non-banks that are in there. And you just set up 15-minute time slots, and you can go and sit down and find out, you know, which one of these lenders, you know, has an interest or, you know, has the possibility to help you, you know, with your financing. Yeah, I would check out all those resources, Rick, to start with.
Well, I think one of the key things you said is you got to build a resume. You've got to, and some people miss this, because I remember being way back when on a bank board, and we get a chance to review loans and stuff. Just, you know, there was always a presentation made, but if you took the time to look through some of the paperwork and the bio or the background of the borrowers and stuff, it was always interesting. And I think that's one of the things I personally like to enjoy, giving someone an hour to sit down and talk about their ideas,
right,
and say yay or nay. At least half the time I try to discourage them,
yeah,
or redirect them as a way to help them get started. Some become clients, many don't, because they're just at the very, very beginning. But no, I think it's important. People starting businesses, that is a whole different world. It's just a step on that ladder.
Right.
And you need to prepare. But so much that happens, particularly in the first year or two, depends on how well prepared you were.
It's true.
Going into it. So it's kind of interesting. Let's backpedal a little bit.
Sure.
Let's go back to the Silver Fox Advisors.
Okay.
That's an organization that you're a member. I'm a member. I've been a member for about almost 20 years, I think.
Well, okay.
And I specialized and worked with small businesses, startups, because at one time nobody else in Foxes would work with them because of the failure rate.
Right.
And I just, the enjoyment, I love it. The experience, and love to see success. But the Foxes present a really, today, even more so with some of the newer members, the width and breadth of experience and
right.
knowledge and the desire to share it and help people is huge. Why don't you tell our audience briefly what Silver Fox Advisors is all about? And
yeah.
And I need to mention that this guy's the authority right now. He's the president of our organization.
Yeah,
so he's front and center out there leading the charge.
Yeah, Silver Fox Advisors was a group that I was somewhat familiar with. I went to some of their lunch and learns over the years. And Dick Hendy, we talked about during the break. He's a member also and a former banker. And Dick introduced me, and then I said, hey, would you consider joining Silver Foxes, you know, and I just never thought about it, but being towards the end of my banking career, I thought it'd be a nice transition and into a group that I really didn't know a lot about, but as I've come to know a lot more about the group and meet the membership, which is, they're a fantastic group of individuals that come out of being either small business owners themselves, they worked in corporate America. Some of them are still working and, you know, doing consulting for small businesses. And there's some are like myself, you know, our previous president, Joseph Tung, you know, he's an attorney in the Houston area. So there's a good mix of, individuals that are, still working, sort of maybe semi-retired doing consulting, and some fully retired, but want to give back, you know, to the community, and to the small business community. And, so yeah, our goal as an organization really is to support the small business community in Houston and the surrounding area. We do that, you know, by partnering up with, you know, different groups. One of the things we do is we annually judge the Better Business Bureau awards, their annual awards competition for small businesses. We also, a number of us sit on or judge small business pitch competitions. We've been active in the Prison Entrepreneurship Program, which I mentioned earlier, and Really, and then lunch and learns are sort of something that Silver Foxes has been known for over the years, just providing business-oriented speakers to come in and talk about just various topics. And then also we have something called roundtables, which I think the roundtables are very important. It's a free service through Silver Fox Advisors, and if you're a small business owner looking to maybe have a group that you can talk to that are like-minded, they're also other business owners themselves, but they meet typically monthly and just talk about the issues that they're having. And it's interesting, is they can all be in different industries, but they all sort of go through the same needs that any small business owner would have. And they're very, very similar. It's interesting how that sort of works out. They all have the same problems and challenges that small business owners have, but they have a way of sharing with each other to get resolution and just hear new ideas and things that are working for other business owners. So, Rick, I know you're on a, I think you're on a nonprofit or two, maybe.
Yeah, I have a couple roundtables. I'm one of the biggest advocates of roundtables, because when I was in business, I connected with some roundtables, different, like a national roundtable of businesses in the same industry. Mm-hmm. And we'd meet, for a week every year and exchange, a lot more formal program. But in the amount of money and I identified one time, I sat down and tried to calculate what that group had given me in ideas and savings, the whole schmear. And it was over $1 million.
Right.
If I tried to put a number on it. But no, the roundtable programs, I have two here in the Conroe area. We're affiliated with the Conroe, Lake Conroe Chamber of Commerce. They sponsor us here in this area. And one of them is a CEO for-profit group. And it's a fantastic group of individuals, pretty stable group.
Mm-hmm.
And you meet once a month for an hour and a half, 2 hours. That's the commitment, plus maybe some work out. And everybody gets a chance to facilitate a meeting, meaning they get to talk about the topics that they, which is true anytime. If someone's got an issue right now, they can submit it to this board of advisors.
Right.
And so at the next meeting, you get a chance to present your issue, and they get input from all these other businesses.
Right.
And like you say, that they may be in different industries, but they share a lot of the same goals, challenges, everything. And there's a certain camaraderie that builds up.
Right.
And it's great to have a support group. In the nonprofit group, I do the same thing. They're running businesses, their organizations to be successful.
Right.
And we have that. So it's a little different take on it as far as what you're doing, but no, it's both groups amazing. And I encourage anybody I come across that is a small business owner, particularly if you're established for 2 or 3 years or more, where you've gotten that startup stuff out, because that the members tend to be established businesses, meaning
right.
2, 3, 5. Some are generational,
mm-hmm.
second, third generation running a business. They have their challenges, but a lot of them are the same.
Right.
So, and again, the time commitment. I love it when somebody says, well, gosh, I don't know if I have the time. I said, well, hour and a half, 7:30 to 9.
Right.
On a Wednesday morning. I mean, you don't, and what you'll take away is just phenomenal. And 9 times out of 10, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you a quick story.
Sure.
Happened right here on this radio show. The first 2 or 3 years I did this program, I sort of tracked my guest, and one of my basic questions was, are you connected with a group, a support group, a roundtable
mm-hmm.
of some sort? 95% of the businesses that after the conversation we had, I judged that were probably really successful, that were successful businesses based on being a guest on this show and off air conversations as well, 95% of them had mentors or were part of a group.
Right.
That's a phenomenal number.
Yeah.
And again, they were all kinds of businesses.
Yeah.
You know,
I think, as a never having been a business owner, but having known many of them over a 40-year banking career is, I think your probably experiences may be similar, is that a lot of business owners are sort of lone wolves. You know, they're just out there, going after their business, doing what they need to do on a daily basis. They may have their CPA who's helpful with the financials. They may have an attorney on the legal side, but having somebody that you are in, especially a group that you can go sit down with for, you know, an hour or so, you know, each month to just talk about issues and what's happening, I think is just so valuable. Silver Fox Advisors, you know, we just love this this program, you know, roundtables. And anybody out there listening, like Rick said, we'd love to entertain you joining one. We have a number of them spread throughout the Houston area, and we do both for-profit businesses and nonprofit businesses. So we'd welcome you to join up to a roundtable.
Well, I deeply appreciate it. Again, I start talking about it, I can't stop. But because I've been on both sides, and right. It works.
Yeah.
It works, and we need that. You make a great point. Lone wolves, we kind of keep to ourselves. We own a business, you know. And you're right. You hit the nail right on the head, and I appreciate that. But the Silver Fox have sponsored these roundtables for years,
mm-hmm.
and they've got such a bench with so many really smart people who've been there, done that, that are there because they want to share their experience and knowledge. So we act as a mentor to the group. So I have to catch myself. Sometimes I have a tendency to talk too much. I try to sit there.
Oh, I hear you. No.
But I've been there and done it too. So.
Right. Oh. I did want to go back because I was thinking about a question you asked about, if you don't mind, about the sizes of loans. I think I skipped over that. I got off on a tangent. But, so SBA loans can be, you know, as small as $25,000. They can go up to, you know, $5 million under the 7A program. You can have multiple SBA loans. So let's say you're a franchise owner and each of your franchises, you need to borrow $500,000 on, you could have 10, $500,000 SBA loans to hit the $5 million cap. On the other side with the 504 program, can go up to, $5.5 million, you can do a project up to $12 million, you know, with the 504 program. That's typically buying a pretty sizable building, but you can see there's a good breadth of funds available for all different sizes of building, of businesses, you know, with $25,000 up to $12 million of financing. So, yeah, it covers a lot of ground.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge the SBA has, and I've not read this anywhere, it's just my instinct, is they're a hidden secret. People don't know.
Right.
They don't realize the width and the breadth of you that you and I've discussed.
Right. What's happened is during PPP, during the pandemic, a lot of people, business owners, found out about SBA lending. So what we discovered after PPP ended and the pandemic was kind of running its course, we started hearing from more people that they were calling to ask for SBA loans. That was kind of a first for me, you know, because yeah, like you just said, it's sort of been a best kept secret of financing. And the SBA's doing a much better job, you know, of promoting their products. And so we've seen a big shift in the business market. More people are aware that what they can do with an SBA loan.
Yeah, and then it's available. Their marketing, they could do a lot more. I'm
right.
not criticizing.
Sure.
I just it's a secret.
Right. Absolutely.
Kind of wrap up our conversation today. Unfortunately, we're kind of run out of time because I could keep talking about it. Because again, I'm convinced that it's a best kept secret. It needs to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is what do you see mistake wise that people make when they apply for the loan? What is it they're not doing right?
Okay.
Generally speaking,
I think one thing I see is one is when they come into to meet with a banker is not disclosing, you know, all the ugly stuff. So if you have something in your past, you know, especially, you know, if you've got a bad credit or something on your credit report, because that the loan officer is not going to pull your credit history right there. But what bankers don't like is surprises. So what happens is as we start going down that path of discovery, once you sign, you know, an application, we start pulling reports and we find out, oh, wait a minute, he didn't tell us this or she didn't tell us that. Then it starts to create a little bit of doubt, you know. So my recommendation is when you go sit down with the bankers, you just lay all your cards on the table and tell them, you know, all the good and the bad. And that way they're starting in a place where they're very equal with, you know, what you know about yourself, and they're not sort of on this mission of, I just found out something else that, you know, they didn't tell me. So, that sets the stage for a much better relationship, you know, starting out, you know, with your banker. So I'd recommend that. And then one of the things we ask for, especially in a startup, is projections, being too optimistic. So you want to do different cases of projections, so you can tell when an individual really cares about what they're doing, or, you know, I've had applicants come in and they have somebody else do their projections for them. They don't even understand them. They haven't even hardly looked at them, you know, which that's important. You really need to look at your game plan, you know, what you're getting ready to do here as far as the business. How are you going to make money through this? And, they'll come in with these wild projections that, you know, state they're going to do $10 million in year one. You know, that's just not going to happen probably. So, you know, let's scale it back. Let's kind of get back to reality. What do you need to do as a minimum to cover all your expenses at first, you know, year or two, and be able to pay yourself some kind of a, you know, nominal salary? So that's projections. And one other thing I would do is prepare myself financially to start a business. So if I'm sitting on a lot of personal debt, credit cards and things like that, I would wait, you know, because if it's a good idea today, it'll be a good idea a year from now. But get your personal house in order, get those credit cards paid off, so you're not, you know, trying to catch up on that stuff while you're trying to build a business. So that I see that as a critical error coming into starting a business. Or let's say you're at a point where, hey, I'm going to start this business and I want to buy a house or buy a new car at the same time. I would highly recommend you don't do those. You know, build your business so you can have those. So delay that gratification until you've built your business up to where it's cash flowing enough to where you can afford those things.
Right.
You know, yeah.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, again, I can't thank you enough for taking time to come out here and share your knowledge and experience. If someone wanted to reach out to you to get more information about Stellar Bank and what you do, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, best way, I'll give out my phone number. I'm okay with that. You can call me at 832-392-4929. That's my cell phone, actually, so I'm okay with that. You can reach me by email at Gary, G-A-R-Y, dot Henderson, H-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, at Stellar, S-T-E-L-L-A-R, dot Bank, B-A-N-K.
Well, again, thank you, Gary. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've used up all our time today, and we'll continue to do this. Come back next week at 11 o'clock, and we'll have another great, outstanding guest, not a banker, but somebody else to talk with us in a conversation I think you personally will benefit as well as enjoy. So put it on your calendar. Join us next Monday, 11 a.m. And in the meantime, as I always advise, stay engaged and always keep your focus on what counts in your business. Thanks.